right, gentlemen.
Yeah, well, I'm glad we're now recording, because now Dad can definitely critique my study of the Bible. Although, I must say, I'm talking about living in light, and this is something that Tony Gray touched on a week and a bit ago when we met together, one of the strands in Ephesians. So I'm essentially basing my talk off what he said, so it can't be that bad, right? As long as it's kind of what Tony says, then we're probably fine. So living in light. Light's one of those things that we can't live without. In fact, very little on Earth can live without. Everything on the Earth that lives is there because of light, apart from one or two communities down at the bottom of the sea, but never mind about them. Light is incredibly vital, and I thought I'd just start with this photo. So this is a photo I took 3 years ago on Holy Island in Lindisfarne, which some of you may have been to, and if you haven't, I recommend that you do go to. And it's taken at sunrise, which in the August I took it in was about 4:30 in the morning, so quite early. And I'd seen this scene the day before, and thought, oh, I've got a really good idea. I know what would be great. I could go under the cliff early in the morning, wait for the sun to rise, take a photo of these nesting birds 4 miles as the sun rises. That would make a great photo. I'm quite happy with how it turned out, incidentally. But I had to climb down here before the sun had risen. And you can't really see that well, but the tide was quite high, and I was climbing around these rocks that I'd kind of looked at the day before and thought, ah, it's fine, you know, it'll be fine. And it was quite scary, actually. It's one of those things that, well, almost at the time you don't really notice, and you look back and think, I really should have been a bit more careful. And I was lucky I was all right. I mean, yeah, so I climbed down when it was dark, found a good place, and then the sun came up, and I saw what I'd climbed over, and thought, God, I did do well to avoid all of that stuff. I nearly fell down a large sort of crack that went down to where the sea was coming in, and thought, okay, well, I know, yeah. So the point is, of course, that light shows things up. It's a very obvious point, yeah, but it was much safer for me to go back after the sun had risen. The light was able to show me where I should put my feet, avoiding large holes in the ground and slippery seaweed and all the rest of it. Very, very simply today, I want to say two things. Firstly, that Jesus is the light of the world. This is not news to many of us, but it's important when we're talking about light to know what the Bible is saying about light and what it says throughout the Bible. And secondly, that we're called to live in light. We're both called to follow the light and be light, essentially. So, moving on, I've just kept pictures and a few Bible verses on here to keep it easy to digest. This is a famous painting, which I'm sure many of you have seen. It's by a man called Holman Hunt. It's called The Light of the World. Does anyone know where the original is?
There's two.
So there is one original, and then he was asked to make two other copies that hang in various places. The original painting is in Keble College, Oxford. I've seen it, it's about 2 miles from where I live. He was then asked to make a life-size big one that hangs in St. Paul's. And there's another one somewhere else.
Manchester.
Okay, yeah. You could talk for hours on the symbolism in this photo. This is just a reminder that the word light has enormous amount of symbolism in the Bible. I've just put up a few verses that are very famous verses. Let there be light. You know, one of the first things we see in Genesis. God is sort of the master of the light in this. He creates the light that makes the world happen. And then there's the famous verse in Matthew that we often hear in Advent. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And then in John, I am the light of the world, says Jesus. It's almost too obvious to say that it's a very common image of something in the Bible. Going back to my original sort of picture, Jesus is that light. He is the only thing that makes obvious the terrain, if you like, what we're facing. He's the only thing that kind of can indicate to us right and wrong, and he's the ultimate source of light. This is what we're talking about when we're talking about light. We're talking about Jesus and the power that he brings. Moving on to us, Here are two more verses, again, fairly famous, and one of them is from Ephesians. We are finally getting to Ephesians. One of my favourite verses in the Bible, 1 Peter 2. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies, praises, of him who called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. Light is not just what Jesus is like, but it seems to be a state of being, being in the light. And Ephesians, which we're finally getting to, talks about living in the light. So it says, at one time you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. When anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light.
Mm-hmm.
Here we've got the kind of the double meaning. So the light exposes what's right and wrong, and we are called to follow that. But in doing that, it says, anything that becomes visible is light. We become the light as we follow the light. This is what Paul is talking about in Ephesians. Now, most of this sort of the setting in Ephesians is about instructions and guidelines of how to live in the light. I'm not going to go into them today, but there's sort of guidelines on personal conduct, on how we should live in relationship, on the roles of men and women, all that. Thankfully, I don't have to go into that today because it's a rather hot topic. If you want to know what I think about that, you can ask me afterwards. But we're going to focus on the fact that there is a right way of living according to Christ, which we all, I hope, believe. And I think, well, to round this off, this is something that can be quite heavy. I grew up in a Christian family. I'm very grateful for that. And I had an obvious and firm sense of what right and wrong was in my life. But for a long time, I didn't really understand the importance of why I should be obeying it. I was a fairly obedient child. I mean, no one's perfect, but looking back, I wasn't too bad. But I often sort of just found myself doing all these things, ticking the boxes that I should be doing as a Christian, all the rest of it, without really understanding why. And I'll say this, it is about obedience. There is a certain amount where, God says something, so we do it. And it's as simple as that. But it's not just about ticking a load of boxes so you can be all right. It's about being a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, all the rest of it. It's, and as Tony talked about on Tuesday, it's about becoming fully human, actually. We often think of, being human versus being Christian. But to be a Christian, in the truest sense, is to be fully human. And I found this enormously important to me. When I got baptised, I think, was the first time that this became real to me, that I wasn't just ticking off stuff so I could be the correct sort of Christian. I was walking in the light. I was becoming the light in my own small way. I found that made a big difference in how I went about trying to do the right thing. I wasn't just doing it for the sake of it, but I was doing it because I was called to be something more. And now, obviously, this is a... I like the... The Bible talks about walking in the light. It's a continual thing every day. And the reason why we're called to do this is so that we ourselves can show up what's right and wrong to other people, just as Christ did to us. This is what I think we can take out of walking in the light. But it's about knowing the light, knowing Jesus, knowing what he's done, knowing what he shows us to be right and wrong, and then living according to that. And because of that, becoming the light to other people.
Excellent. Thanks, Chris. We'll go check out with your dad. See whether you were a good child.
I forgot. There is another photo here, which I took 2 or 3 years ago. And I just love the symbolism of the church being incredibly light and all these people sort of gathered in front of it. I mean, obviously they were there because it was Lumiere and the lights are fun and all the rest of it, but... I kind of came across it a few days and thought, oh, you know what, that's quite powerful,
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's people sort of gathering around the church, and let's take the church as being the people rather than that particular building, just for the sake of it. Yeah, that's us. We are that light that people are gathering around, and yeah.